Let's keep the train moving with another incredible guest, another repeat guest from a while ago. Someone who has requested ad nauseum on this show. He always has great insights. He's fun to listen to. He's incredibly smart. And he ran his head into other humans, similar to Drake, for several years in the black and gold. His name is Brady Ross. Enjoy the show. Let's have a day. Let's go.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, and today is going to be a guest appearance from one of our best friends and one of the smartest, wittiest, biggest assholes on the entire planet. But until he shows up, I won't ruin that surprise.
Yeah.
So it'll be me and Tyler here. Call him Tyler because, well, found out that I'm one of the very few people in this world that does call him Tyler. Gary, Tyler, and I had that conversation about 95 seconds ago. So here we are, Friendship Podcast episode, who cares? We'll call it 420 because I'm in that kind of mood. And yeah, it's got to be close.
Speaking of this guest that is coming on, hopefully sooner rather than later, at least certainly in the next 10 minutes, because we're
big 420 meme guy.
Yes. I sent him the link to the podcast earlier today in an email, and I just said 6:30 p.m. He responded back with 666-420. That was his response to my email. So nothing has changed with this guy. We're excited to have him on. And you are one of four, I guess my wife counts, one of five people on Earth that consistently calls me Tyler. That is in my close circle. Obviously, people who don't know me address me as Tyler, but
only one person calls you Ty.
It's my mom.
It's your mother.
That's actually not true. Blake and Riley will say Ty. That's like the most endearing.
I don't like that one.
It doesn't really fit me, huh?
No, you're just not a Ty.
No. You think of other Ties that you know out there. I think I know two Ties. I ain't like them. And they don't want to be like me, probably, you know?
Or maybe they do. Secretly.
They could. I run a podcast. It's a good gig. Personal trainer. Get to work out a lot. It's a decent life.
You ran away from your hairline.
Ran away. I mean, took care of it. Took care of it. It looks better. You got to give it that.
I mean, I was just talking about how, you know, when your hairline recedes, that means your forehead's getting out in front of it. So you're running away from your hairline. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every time I see somebody now that has the similar yallies that I have, if my hair grows out, I just look at them and go, guy got to shave it. Guy's got to shave it. You don't. Not you.
No, I'm saying you just got to point at your head. Just be like,
yeah. And it's real sad when you see like a 40 or 45 year old guy. It's like,
still trying to hang on to his comb over or something.
He never made the jump. Bald looks good, or at least better.
Bald is beautiful
in some cases.
Just ask Will Smith's husband. That's a Theo joke. I'm going to see Theo tonight. Thought I'd pull that one out.
You're going to see Theo?
Yeah, man. That's why I had to move the podcast up. We're leaving at about 5:30 to head up to Phoenix.
I was going to ask where you had to go tonight, because I know that
Theodore Vaughn is going to be at the the Orpheum Theater. It's close enough, right?
That's something that Theo would say.
Yeah.
I'm performing at the Opium Theater. Orphan Theater. Orphan.
Yeah.
Orphans on Opium Theater, something like that.
It's a terrible Theo impersonation.
I know. I can't.
Yeah, that was Coach Wallace saying something that Theo would say.
I only have one Southern accent.
Yeah, that's where we'll be. And then it's funny enough. I was talking to Bader after training today, and I don't remember if it was him or Daisy, his wife, that brought it up, but they're like, oh yeah, we're going to Theo tonight. And I was like, no shit, I'll see you guys there.
Are those like comped friend tickets, or you didn't bother him for that? You just said,
yeah. Those are comped friend tickets. Yeah.
Love that.
And I didn't bother him. I just bothered his tour manager, and I was given instructions by him when he sent his tour manager's contact to bother his tour manager.
Send another message that says, hey, we're going to be in Nashville on June 21st.
Nah, I won't even worry about that. I'll just tell him when I'm in Nashville. I'll just hit him up. Hey, I'm in Nashville. Let's grab some dinner or something.
Yeah.
No homo.
I don't think he would. I think he'd be down for that. That's going to be fun. He's
funny, man. And I haven't seen him. I saw him do some material at Zany's in Nashville. Yeah. But this is his tour stuff, so I don't believe I've seen any of this stuff. Maybe I have seen some of it.
The Opium Theater probably is a big one.
I think it probably has 4,000 or 5,000 seats, I'm sure, is what he's selling.
Jesus Christ. That's so many people to come watch a guy tell jokes.
Just think, man. Rogan sells out 20,000.
I'm aware. I went to him in Des Moines at Wells Fargo Arena. I thought Hinchcliffe was funnier, but Rogan's
I think Schultz's the best of them all.
Bro, Schultz is funny.
Kaylee and I went to Schultz, and she was like looking around like, am I fucking allowed to laugh at this?
There's a couple out there. He's a totally different lane. Like, he's full on. His whole act is this, but Jesselnik is, he I does.
You were going to say his.
Yeah. His shock factor. He's completely shock factor. And they're similar results. It's like people kind of look around and be like, all right, I can give my stamp of approval. No one's going to call me out for being racist or
not me, dude. I was howling.
I'm not that person. I would laugh openly and freely, but Gary, you a big comedy fan?
Yeah, no, I love stand up. Yeah.
Have you been to anybody in person?
Yeah, I actually, so Tim Dillon was here back in, I want to say, November 21. And it was him and Sam Talent from Colorado.
Too. A couple big boys.
Those are some big old fellas. Sam said that he was offered to play football at Iowa too. At one point.
Offered?
Yeah, like he was all state. He played line. He was good.
Who is this? I knew he was good. Sam Talent. He's a comedian.
Sam Talent.
Yeah.
Is he a rap? Is he? Wait. What?
No. Oh, he might be. There's a comedians are always going to. Rapids, but
Sam Talent football.
And you know what's funny enough is that Cedar Rapids and Des Moines get mentioned so often in comedy podcasts. They're like, yeah, I had to fucking go to fucking Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
They're always I feel like they're always in is it Davenport or
Davenport?
I hear them talk about the funny bone in Des Moines all the time. Which Lauren and I have consistently said. God, would this be it? Yeah, 2008 probably. Sam Talent, defensive end.
I don't know, New Mexico State. I don't know if he actually ended up playing college football or not, but I remember that was like the first thing he said because he was wearing an Iowa hoodie that he said he got on his recruiting visit here.
Wow. So that's an old hoodie.
It was an old hoodie. But I was like, oh, well, he just bought a hoodie? He was like, oh, no, I actually had this.
Boys, I've never heard of this guy.
He was just on Rogan.
He's a good comedian.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's got a successful book too about stand up. I haven't read it, but
he had a lot of really funny comedians read chapters out of his book too.
Shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They all of them, dude.
Dramatic readings.
I don't know. Like 15 different comedians got 15 different chapters.
Oh, really? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I meant to pick it up then.
Gary, you're a balanced guy. You know that?
I try to be. I like to. Interested in a lot of stuff. My brain is easily occupied by things.
You are. It's a really good quality to have for podcasting.
This is liking most things or just being interested in different stuff.
having at least entry level knowledge of a vast variety of subjects.
Yeah, well, a lot of it's like pretending, I would say. Like, it's like you might like pretend you know like entry level, but it's really nothing. Like, I can pretend I have entry level knowledge of rockets, right? And I'd just be like, oh, Elon Musk does rockets, right? You pretend that you know about it, but I don't know anything about rockets. Like, what?
I don't know if you want to choose rockets as what you would pretend on, but everything that you brought to this podcast has been pretty not pretend, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would like to think too we're all fairly like-minded individuals in terms of our interests as well, so I think that helps. I mean,
yeah. Oh shit.
Uh-oh.
Look who it is.
Hey.
Welcome to the party, bro. Yeah.
What's going on, gentlemen?
And the secret's out.
The secret's out. It's BR80.
I didn't interrupt.
No,
we're talking about
the main event, dude. We're talking about basically faking it till you make it.
Yeah.
Knew a few guys that did that in a lawsuit.
Yes, we do know a few guys that did that in a lawsuit, right?
Let's start it hot.
How do you feel about that lawsuit, Bubs? How do you feel about the University of Iowa just rolling over and playing dead when it easily could have just been proven that they were completely liars?
Well, it was proven.
Yeah, and I don't know. I didn't follow it much at all. I followed the post settlement commentary from a prominent mother on Twitter.
How fucking wild was that, dude?
All I gotta say is, kids,
don't smoke crack.
A lot of you guys know exactly what we're referencing, and it was posted in the Discord. There's some commentary, some fun discourse there. Fuck, man, some wild stuff going on. For those that are watching, obviously you can see Brady Ross has joined the show. For those that are listening, that beautiful, deep voice.
Where are you, Larry Dolphin Jr.? The voice of the Humboldt Wildcats.
Yeah, dude. Are you?
No, I'm the Podolak of the Humboldt Wildcats.
Oh, you're color commentary.
I wish I was the play-by-play. I think I'd be better at that.
There's been not one person, but multiple people have said in my DMs that you and I should be the next we should take over for Gary and Ed, and I respond to them very, 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 very appreciative of your sentiment there, but I have absolutely no contest on business being in that conversation. Brady maybe a little bit more than me, and there's a lot of Hawk fans that would be real disappointed.
Who would be who?
That's the question.
You gotta be the one that talks the most, Brady, because your velvety chocolate voice is just out of this world.
I would have to say, in that scenario, you're probably more knowledgeable about football than me. So you'd have to be the color guy, and I would have to just call it how I see it.
I don't know. Following Dolph, them are some big old shoes now.
Big old shoes.
It doesn't matter who they fill that position with. They're fucked. They're never going to be Dolph. Ever.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. I could do the Bud and Mary's commercial for.
Well, I love that commercial. I played football for 50 years. Drake doesn't know what we're talking about. He's never heard it, but Podolak does this like CBD medical marijuana.
My man, Eddie.
And it's a company called Bud and Mary's. It's a funny commercial, man. It's pretty hilarious. Brady, what have you been up to? I know we've given you a lot of shit on social and the Discord about how you never come back on the podcast. We finally got you for a repeat here. You're a married guy now.
Yeah, I am a married guy.
Now, go back to like 2015 and tell me that you thought that was going to happen.
Well, you know, I didn't. But yeah, no. Outkick my coverage, but you know, we're hanging on to it. So,
at all, you didn't think you were going to get married at all, ever?
Oh no, I wouldn't say that. probably wasn't on the inside track for the second of us to get married, I would say.
No.
I figured Kevin would beat me.
Yeah. Well,
he's close.
He's getting married,
he's
right?
Engaged. Yeah, he's engaged.
He is now engaged, yes.
Are you guys going to Bo's?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be there.
That's going to be...
Do us a favor and don't smack the pen on your table.
You're actually going, though? You're not going to say you're going and then text me the day of that you're not going like you did for mine? Or
huh?
You're actually going?
I didn't do that for yours. I told you. I texted you beforehand.
All right.
Oh. But no, I'm in Bo's. I have to go.
I'm excited for that. Colton Rastetter gets married like the day before Bo.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm doing a...
You're going back to back.
I'm doing a double dippage.
Like a Humboldt state champions back to back.
No.
Oh, you never won a state championship?
I never even went to the Dome.
Yeah.
Maybe we weren't that good.
Are they better now?
They made the back-to-back Dome appearances last two.
Oh, shit.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Drake, I was thinking, by the way, the last time that the six of us from Benton were all in the same place. Do you remember?
Your wedding, probably. No, it wasn't your wedding. Pro day?
It was Josie's wedding.
Oh.
Which was right, 2 months after Pro Day. It was July 7th of 2018. It has been, it will have been almost 5 years to the day that the six of us have been in the same place, because Ike missed mine. Otherwise, the other four of you were there. So I haven't seen Ike in 5 years. I'm pretty damn excited. And the fact that Brady's going to be there and some other people, that's going to be a bit of a riot.
It should be a butt show, huh?
Was that the only group that you guys lived with where there was no turnover, because you guys were all in the same class?
There was a little bit of turnover in the back because Drake did not live there for a while, like 2 or 3 years.
2 years, yep.
So it was all the way through until the very – like last semester it was, or maybe the last couple semesters, it was me, Kevin, and Wiz in the front. And then in the back, it started as just those three. I think it was just Bo, Ike, and Josie, I think.
And then Coxie moved in for a bit.
Cox moved in for a while. There was one other person who lived down there for a semester, maybe.
Doozy, right?
Doozy, I think, lived there for a semester. And then I think Drake took over for like 2 or 3 semesters at the end. Yeah.
I took over for 2 years.
Oh,
2 years and then a pro day.
Mm. When I started living in Miller, we had Boz, Ott, and then there was quite a bit of turnover. By the end of it, it was like me and a few guys from my high school. I don't know if any players live there anymore.
I think it's still a team.
Dude. It's a health code issue.
It got to be. No.
You tried to say that place got nice. It's like, dude, it's 830 Miller
for a semester. My brother lived in Miller.
Really?
Yeah, and they renovated it. They did like some. They updated it a little bit. So,
and the owner of 830 Miller was a regular to the Riverside Poker Room.
She owns that whole block. She's a slumdog millionaire.
Slumdog
millionaire. Talk about slumlord.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Brady, do you ever play poker anymore?
Not really. We're going to Vegas in September.
Really? Who's
so,
we?
Me and my wife.
You and the woman.
You gonna go to a UFC event?
September 10th to 13th, we'll be there. I don't know.
You could head on over to Phoenix sometime that month and watch Drake in a debut bout.
Hopefully.
Full on, Kate. I thought you've done one or two of those.
I tried to take two fights last year, and the other guy backed out. I took them on short notice, and they backed out.
What weight?
185.
Brady.
Not that much to say. Just likes the information, I guess.
Just am watching him, and I'm just like,
I love it.
I
No, so if I can't, I'd go. I'd seriously go in person, or at least, you know, if I absolutely couldn't go, I'd love to see it live stream. Because
yeah,
Brady,
it'd be worth it to see me get punched in the face a few times, huh?
Yeah, facts.
No, I don't know. I mean, you get after it in training. I can't imagine this pussy who keeps backing out's gonna have much to say.
It was two different dudes. It was two different guys that were looking for short notice fights.
And they
I'll fight you. No problem.
You probably say yes, and then they figure out who stepped in to fill the role because they do a little research and get some background info, and they're like, "I'm out. This guy's fucking crazy. He's got CTE. I'm done."
Anyone who gets into that cage fighting shit is whacked. They're all whacked.
Yeah, facts. Facts.
Like, yeah.
The only thing that could make Drake more whacked is if he did like a nice cycle of Primo and testosterone, which he's...
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
Quick break to give some love to one of our biggest partners right now. That's right, you guessed it, pork. Bacon, ground pork, ham, pork roast, pork belly, ribs, pork loin, pork shoulder, and pork sausage. You name it. You're probably hungry now. Nutritionally speaking, animal proteins are top of the line. They are nutrient dense and satiating, helping to promote less overconsumption of calories and a better body composition. Pig farmers today are raising more pork using less land, water, and energy than ever before. And the manure from the pigs is then used to fertilize next year's corn crop, all in an effort to continue to try and become more efficient. We've mentioned multiple times how before we ever came into this partnership, my personal favorite stop at the state fair every year was for a pork burger at the Pork Producers Building. And every home game against Minnesota, Kevin and his family bust out the best pork chops available. The walk-ons and pork are a match made in heaven. Put some pork on your plate today.
Hey, dude, got a TRT doc appointment tomorrow. Let's talk to you,
brothers. How strict is the testing in this organization?
Bro, you don't get tested until you're fighting for
a championship,
a lot of money. Like,
yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah, until you get to the big show, then
we're gonna have to come to a certain.
Then you just get tested, and your levels are what your levels are.
I mean, Lesnar made it.
Lesnar got
John Jones. John Jones fails the test like every other week, and somehow he's
doing it again.
But
what? I feel it. Your life could turn around here, Drake.
If they write me the script, I don't know. Because the last time I got my T-check, they're like, yeah, I mean, it's definitely not high. It's just not like low.
The way I've heard it is like they'll give anybody testosterone.
Hopefully.
I mean, you just got to say you got a couple.
You could transition. You could say you're transitioning.
That's why I grew my hair out. I'm going to tuck my dick and balls between my legs, and I'm going to tell the doctor that I'm trying to get my clit to grow into a normal wiener.
How would you do in the female UFC?
I would be the champion of every division that's ever existed.
Like, no doubt, 100%?
Yeah. Well, now, yeah.
Not even 100%.
100%. Yeah. Now. Not back then. because I didn't have the skills, I would have gotten lost in the ocean. Okay. I would have gotten into spots where I had no idea what I was doing, and I would have gotten hurt because of it.
On the ground, there's
no – you would have went to Snap City.
Snap City, dude.
That's a one-way ticket.
One-way ticket to Snapville.
Dude, Snap City is a throwback. I don't know if you're pulling that from the Hodge Twins, but that's a throwback to the Hodge Twins. Holy shit, that's like circa 2011. dude, yes. Yeah. Dude, search Hodge Twins. I mean, they've gone completely political. They're like,
What's up? Yeah.
I think it's what gives them clicks. I don't know. Right. But they used to just be workout dudes, and they are is fucking hilarious. You think that on the ground could if it had to be like a striking match, is there anybody that just straight up on the female side could handle you striking?
For sure, for sure. Just, I can't do any if it's just a boxing match.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, I would lose boxing matches. Okay. To a lot of female fighters.
That's what
boxing
I thought.
Boxing is a technical. I mean, you got fat 16-ounce puff gloves. Like, if she can dance and got really good head movement, I'd probably lose a boxing match to a woman.
I was gonna say you're. I was trying to deduce your advantage there, and it's clearly on the ground.
Oh, it's just a physical advantage that of being a dude that trained at the stress level that I've trained at for my whole life.
Yeah. What do you do for training now, Brady?
So last summer we got into running pretty strong. We ran the Ronald McDonald 5K in Iowa City. And I didn't know at that point, I didn't even know if I could run 3.1 miles without stopping. And I could. It turns out I could. And I crossed the finish line with a little bit more gas in the tank than you want to cross the finish line with. ran like a 20. Because I started thinking I might not finish. I mean, I haven't run 3.1 miles and, you know, whatever. But I think I finished like 23 or something.
That's pretty good, man.
Well, immediately it was my goal to break 20 that summer. So yeah. I went, you know, and I was running, you know, I got pretty lean and did. I ran a 19:20.
Holy shit, dude.
That's so sick to hear. Cause you had messaged me cause 18 months, 2 years ago, I was doing a couple half marathons. And you had messaged me, I remember, a couple times asking me what my times were and talking about going on. I know one time you're like, yeah, I just went out and ran for an hour today to see like if I could do it. And I was like, yeah, you could fucking do it. Like, I'm surprised that you didn't have – that you had that much doubt in yourself that you couldn't run 3 miles.
Well, there was one time when I was at Iowa – well, I mean, I think I could do it barring, you know, like a big – cramping event or something like that, because that's always the ace card, you know, once shit starts locking
throw a cramp
up,
you know, in there,
yeah, you're done. But I when I was at Iowa one time, we came back, and granted I was, you know, whatever, 260 plus. I tried running a mile and I could feel it for several weeks after, my knees and ankles and
arteries.
And it was tough. It just, yeah, the cream puff filling just oozing through my heart. Yeah, I mean, but yeah, no. So we got into that. I haven't run much. I talked about doing a marathon.
Yeah,
coming up, but I don't know. I've been playing basketball. I'll pick up basketball in the mornings and. Really got to the point where I'm pretty explosive.
Yamming that shit.
And
how much do you weigh now?
About 2 1/4, yeah.
225 still?
You're so huge.
Dude, you're fat as fuck.
And how strong are you still?
So
just
strong.
Obscenely. Just
relative to the general population, yes. I'm nowhere near the strength that I was when
Jesus,
I was.
Jesus, I hope not.
Well, you were on the moon at Iowa, so.
And that's, you know, you get what you train for. I have no – I still see guys at the gym we go every morning 5 a.m. We're there. I see guys like in their 40s and 50s max deadlifting and stuff. And I don't have that desire anymore. For a little bit after Iowa, I was thinking like maybe I get into this because I got, you know, the genetic potential to really move some goddamn numbers here.
You can
really
put the numbers serious up on the board.
Your fucking body could do some what we call around here numbies.
Well, and I was looking at you know, National Federation
like
records. Yeah. You know, Pete Rubish was on. And I looked at some of those names that are now obviously famous powerlifting names that – it would have been doable had I gone for it. And I was at post Iowa at one point doing workouts where, you know, I was front squatting 475 pounds for several sets of 12.
What?
Whoa.
What?
Brady, fucking hold on, buddy. You front squatted 475 for multiple sets of 12?
Yeah, it was violent.
Kill yourself. I know you sent me a video one day of you doing 325 or 365 for 20 on the back squat. I know you're stupid strong. It's still just blows.
That was 25.
Okay.
And yeah. No, yeah, and that was way after this. I was nowhere soon. So, but I mean, at Iowa, you know, I as a in the dorm at Iowa as a true freshman, broke the fullback squat record, which I think what? At that point it was 605, and I think it had held for close to 20 years.
That's so much weight, dude.
Well, it was like 605 and it was set in 03, and in the dorm, I pushed that to 640. So I was a true freshman. And then my second year, I pushed that to 655. And that's when Doyle said, "You're done."
I remember that. Yeah.
And yeah, we went to the Pit Shark. And so yes, 475 for that many on the front squat sounds outrageous, but when you think about the context.
No. It's just simply outrageous.
Simply outrageous. Yeah, full blown outrageous.
Do you realize what I would do for the things that I would do for 70% of your strength? I mean, I just dirty things. Like, dude, I did front squat today. I did 3x3 tempo reps, 5 seconds down. And on my last set, I got buried with 305 for a set of three. Like, I'm not even in the same fucking universe as you.
Suck well, and you might swallow some of that strength.
Strength is weird, dude. I don't know. You know, powerlifting is bizarre.
Yeah, dude, you had lunch lady arms, and you could bench press 500.
Yeah, I can bench five, but could have got there probably if you really put your heart to it. But yeah,
so in this time period, shortly after you I guess the time period where the NFL decided they didn't want,
which is asinine. I think I've covered this before, but who is evaluating fullbacks if you aren't an NFL fullback? What the fuck is happening?
Well,
you could run and you ran through people.
It was that whole process. I don't remember if we talked about this at all.
I don't think
previous
we did.
Shows. It was looking like, you know, and just having conversations with teams leading up to the draft. The Lions pretended to be interested, and the Chiefs actually late showed a lot of interest. In fact, the Chiefs running back coach told me in verbatim, if you don't get drafted, which is hilarious because you're not getting drafted, stay around your phone. We have a situation you would really excel in. Period. Never heard from him.
They blow so much smoke. It's unbelievable.
And matter of fact, I don't even think they took a fullback at all. So I wonder if they're in a spot where, okay, they really like this guard that safety or whatever, and they have numbers that they have to stay under. And if this guy goes there, then maybe I was down the list or something like that. The Lions actually, the story from the running back coach that talked to me post draft was the assistant GM wanted me, the real GM wanted this guy from South Dakota State. The guy from South Dakota State didn't pan out. And months after the draft, they actually called my agent and said, we want to bring him in. And I said, no, I'm done. I was at that point had lost probably 20, 25 pounds. I could have done it. Frankly, it probably would have been one of those, because I asked my agent, I'm like, so what exactly do they want me to do? Like, what are we doing here?
It's a fair question. And
what is the, because, you know, you have the guys that, you know, they go to the NFL here for a little bit and there for a little bit. And it's like, they never really were given a, like, am I a glorified bag holder? Are we, my one question was, are we in pads and a helmet? No, you're in shorts and a t-shirt and, you know, but they could see you hit a bag and stuff. And, and I'm like, look, I'm not a guy that's going to wow you with my,
I'm not a shorts and t-shirt guy.
Well, the shorts and t-shirt guy.
I need as many things to cover me up as possible.
Drake's lunch lady arms comment was still, I was less lunch lady at that point. But yeah, no. So I don't know. I at that point was really getting serious. You know, it was getting to, chopping time on where I was going to end up with Jones. And I never wanted to be that guy that hung on too long. I always said, if I really thought that there was an opportunity for me to continue to play, I would. But there's something to be said for ending it on your own terms too. And frankly, I was ready to be done too. I didn't really face the post-football depression thing that a lot of guys unfortunately deal with. I'm not 100% sure why. I just, I was having the time of my life with my now wife, just not worried about waking up in the morning and, getting yelled at and smashing my head into stuff. And it was just a nice, been there, done that thing. I think the football thing, if I could describe it in an analogy, if it was like a ride at Disney World, my exact football experience was like a ride at Disney World. I think there'd be a lot of people in line to go on the ride. I don't know how many would get, and they'd be happy they did. They'd be proud of it and all that. I don't know how many would get back in line. And that's my, that was my, that, that's really how I would put it, is I'm very proud of everything, happy I did it, but it was, I'm good.
I get that, brother. Don't I ever.
I certainly think that the position that you guys played plays a role there. I think that it is interesting to hear. You might be, in fact, the first guest we've had on, and I'd say, we're easily over 100 guest episodes on this show, probably closer to 200. And I think you're the first one we've heard have some sort of shot at a look, right? That, oh, hey, we want to bring you back in. Even if we all three of us sitting here know that that's most likely a trip up to Detroit where you're going to run around and they're going to be like, hey, thanks for your time. You're the first person to be on here and say that you turned even that down. And I know Kevin, so I don't, Drake, I'm pretty sure, and I obviously know what I got. We didn't hear from anybody. And Kevin got like one of those regional, like.
He's a Chicago kid. He got to go play in the Bears stadium for a bit.
Yeah, he got to do like a Bears tryout for local college graduates. But none
Kevin
of us
could have made it. Kevin could have made it, special teams or something. I mean, he could run, and Gervas is still playing.
Hey, man.
Can't kill a cockroach, baby.
Somehow, some way, he's doing it. But you're the first one to turn that down, and it's very interesting to hear. Because, like, given the opportunity to even just get flown out to a city and snap 12 footballs in front of a guy who says, yeah, we're good, I still would have done it. But again,
I still would have went to check out the cuisine.
And
a couple of meals.
I think some of it is I'm.
I get it, though.
No matter however you want to phrase it, I consider it to be a person of principle, a man of principle. A lot of people would call it more accurately, just a durable chip on my shoulder through my whole life. A big part of it was a durable chip. Yeah, it doesn't come off very easy. But a lot of it was that bullshit, lying, that I interpreted occurred during, oh, you wanted the kid from South Dakota State. How'd that work out for you? Get fucked, sort of thing. So
can't argue with that.
It's really good to hear that that at least in short terms, as you put it, didn't deal with any of that depression or related downside of the post-athletic career. We've had a lot of guys on here that have talked about it. We've talked about it. And I actually think I've had this, like, I've laid in bed at night, kind of half asleep, half awake, thinking, like, what other companies could I start or entrepreneurial ventures could I grind up? And one of them that I thought I actually could do with several other people, kind of like you guys, would be a service that helps athletes transition from
dudes to chicks,
their career. No, well, we could work on the sexual transition as well at some point, but I think the first transition would be going from an athlete.
I got B-Ross with that one, dude.
I know, and I saw him laughing. I saw him laughing. This is a pro trans podcast. I don't know why we're laughing. Transitioning from the athlete life and being the shit to
not shit.
Hey, you're the regular guy now. No one cares. And
that was me going from high school to college. So that was maybe my, because when I got to college, I was very much not the shit.
That's not true, though.
Take you long. You were everybody's favorite freshman by like day four of camp, dude.
And
you had your own nickname. You had fucking upperclassmen in your camp room listening to your stories.
And the starting offensive line that had to practice against me would soon flip their opinion if it was positive.
And did the whole special teams guys.
Everybody
who you played special teams against hated your guts.
But in some sense, though, the reason for that, Brady, was you were super relevant early. You played special teams. Eventually, you started at fullback. I wouldn't say that going from Humboldt, Iowa, that you made a transition from like being the guy. Sure, we were all the guy at our high school, right? But what the fuck does that mean? The ladies at the grocery store know you? You had the fucking Tiger Hawk on you. It doesn't even matter if you played. Like, there was some level of
the lunch ladies knew me. Then I became So I was like the man, not anything. Then the man again. Then not anything again. And I don't know. The post football depression thing makes all the sense in the world if you think about it. Human beings, we are very social primates. You know, we evolved. Common ancestor with chimps and bonobos was 7 million years ago, and humans haven't really even existed for more than 250 to 300,000. And the only reason why we made it is, boy, we were good at banding together, forming groups, really enjoying that camaraderie.
And praising Jesus.
And that didn't come until humans came into existence 250,000 years ago. Jesus, that story was like, I guess the world's 6,000 years old. So I don't know. That was later. But seriously though, like if our ancestors didn't really buy into that stuff and really, form groups and, they didn't pass their genes on because they didn't live very long.
No.
So it's abnormal to not struggle with it a little bit. And you know, kids struggle with that post high school too. I mean,
yeah. As a young adult in general, without the stardom of I'm a Division I athlete that is highly touted in our society, in America at least, there are plenty of people who go through that of like, hey, I am this person, and then as you fully mature in your young 20s, there's identity crisis, and even more so when you every day for 5 years, as we did, pour your heart and soul into this single pursuit. And that's really hard. It's really hard. I think we always used to have those captains come back and talk to us and give us their advice, or we'd have some dudes talk to us in the summer, whatever, old former guys. And they'd have like their one piece of advice or whatever. And it was always like, enjoy the moment. It goes quick. Or, you know, like, these are the days that you'll remember for. I think my piece of advice, I've thought about this, they'll never bring me back. But if I had to talk to a team, I would say, figure out right now, immediately, start figuring out who you are in the absence of the sport, in the absence of you as an athlete. Find hobbies that you enjoy that don't revolve around football. Find people that don't give a fuck that you're a Division I football player. Because when it's gone, something has to fill the void. And if you don't have an identity outside of this, it's going to be really, really hard.
Yeah, that was my thing when I was there. I never wore the team-issued stuff to class. I didn't wear the backpacks. You know, you always know the guys are going to have a hard time after football when their fun fact on the first day of class is that they're on the football team.
That's a tough one. Tough one when you – Yeah.
It's like, geez. But yeah, no, and part of it, I think that adjustment is, it's just so different than what you've been used to real life. Like me and my day-to-day life now, it is bizarre to not have a boss. You know, like, it is strange.
You don't have a boss?
No, no. So, but it is extremely strange because my whole life ever since, you know, I could walk pretty much. It was very clear where I was supposed to be at what times, you structure. Know, through sports, AAU basketball, high school. And then at Iowa, you know, where it's 1984, George Orwell, Big Brother's always watching, and what everything you do, everything you say. And, you know, when Declan was a coach, you know, some things you never did or never said, would still get back to daddy. But, and you know, everything you do, you're wearing a wristband to sleep. You know, they know when you're sleeping, and then you're done. And it's kind of like, all right, go do whatever you want. And it's just like, it's talk about a big change that I'm still adjusting to. It's just,
yeah, you still feel like you are.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, it's again, it's hard to unlearn 24. Well, how old was I? Whatever, 23 years of really. And then it's just like, cause a lot of kids get that when they go to college. Yeah. You got class, but yeah, you can go, you can not go, you can study. I mean, there's an adjustment phase for a lot of kids in their first year or two or college. For you know, for me and for us, it just continued, you know, that regiment strict, not only continued, but actually intensified. And then, I don't know, it's just, it's strange to be able to just go golfing at one in the afternoon, if you feel like it.
Phenomenal decision to be able to make.
It's awesome though.
It's great, but it still doesn't feel, I don't know. That's part of it too, I think.
Does it feel like you... This is interesting. I love this perspective. Sometimes to me, and it's because I live a similar, well, Drake too, I guess, the three of us. So
I
Drake
had to add myself back into like some structure. Of those structured things. I was losing my mind.
So Drake doesn't work, and he just works out and goes jiu-jitsu and, you know, does his thing. I work for myself from home on my own schedule, do whatever the fuck I want to do. whenever I want to do it. Having a kid has cut down on some of that freedom, but it does in some sense, when you look at the contrast between how my life goes right now, sort of what you're describing, and where we were. I love the George Orwell reference. It almost feels like you've like unlocked the last level of life and you're like playing on like easy mode, like open world mode, you know? It's like
it creates some anxiety that clearly something bad's about to happen, because this is too easy.
I feel the same way, except it is too easy. It's
a weird, and it almost sound when you put it like that, it sounds almost almost disrespectful to people who are going through a life where they feel trapped and like they don't have freedom, but it's just like it is the reality for us three. If Kevin was here, he still lives a life where, you know, he has a boss, he answers to people, he has a not just a 9-to-5 job, but more like a.
Do we know that that's true though? Kevin's his own boss. He works for a corporation.
He's not. He's. But he still has quotas and people to answer to, and
okay, sure. It's sales, I guess.
It is weird. It is weird. I'm happy for it. I'm happy as hell for you and any other guys that we played with that don't have to experience it. Unfortunately, it seems like more people do than they don't. And it's because of it's because they get hit with it so fast. You know, it is morning to night. Everything is just in a flash. You get up, you work out, you go to practice, you go to school, you study, you go to a meeting, you come home, go to bed. And then 5 years later, it's like, oh shit, it's over. And now you're forced to deal with it, and you haven't been given a lot of resources or tools. And again, if you don't have an identity outside of what you've been doing, then it becomes really tough to find your way out of that. But
tell you what, though, when I was done, I look back and I love life is great right now. It's awesome. Me, my wife, my dog. But looking back, it was a pretty sweet year there right when I was done, because it was COVID. The world was locked down. And
so you went from being Iowa football schedule to locked in your house. That's a bizarre transition right there.
And I was the place I'm at professionally has a very relatively rigorous onboarding process. Most don't make it through. There's several interviews. There's a day in a life simulator where they kind of throw the book at you and try to get you to break laws and whatever. And I was up until that last point, and the entire firm shut down hiring. So I was in a state of limbo there for several months. You know, living with my wife in her grandma's condo in Iowa City. I'd go to Terry Trueblood and just walk and run around that thing for 5 laps, go to the weight room, you know, My Fitness Pal and everything, and just getting shredded and listening to podcasts. And you know, it was a big 180. It was strange, for sure. Still to this day, I'll have like a dream that I'm still like,
really?
Yeah.
You don't, Kluver?
I've heard so many people say that. Kevin talks about having those dreams. You talk about it. Brady just mentioned it.
Dude,
not once.
Several times a month.
Not once have I had a dream where I like wake up and I'm late to, or I'm in the dream and I'm late to a meeting or something. Like I've never had it.
Mine aren't that. Mine aren't like I wake up, Doyle's yelling at me or whatever. It's
I have a funny dream.
I'm kind of like a fly on the wall in the locker room. And it's halfway like a fun dream, but it's partially kind of, in a way, a little bit depressing and ego, and hurts your ego, because I think the message of the subconscious is, yeah, you know, you did whatever you did at Iowa, but they're going on just fine without you.
Oh yeah.
You weren't shit. Really.
Which is, by the way, reality.
So true.
Yep.
And that hurts. And you don't really think about that. To be quite honest, the first time that hit me, and it was a longer process than this to kind of get over it. And I had gotten over it in large part for a long time because I was a long snapper. Like, y'all didn't even fucking need me on game day, basically.
That's not true, dude. We won a lot of games with special teams. Let's just be honest.
That's true, but, you know, as far as usage goes, my percentage was low.
That was the first compliment I've given you about football ever, and you didn't even take it.
Dude. I'm numb to anything that you say.
That's fair. We've done too many podcasts together for you to ever give a fuck what I
But saying. But the first time that hit me was actually 2018. Brady would have still been on the team. Gervais and Parker and Brinks are leading the swarm for the first game. I literally just got goosebumps thinking about the moment. I'm sitting in the stands right above the tunnel because my brother at the time is being recruited or like brought on a visit, and fucking Back in Black is playing, and I had just gone through the last 53 Iowa Hawkeye football games in a row. I was part of the swarm, and now I'm in the stands with all the other to be frank, in my mind, what I'm thinking is now I'm just with all the regular people, and I'm not cool anymore. My name's not on the back of the jersey, and no one even around me knows that I fucking played. Because, and I watched them lead the swarm out, and I'm like, it was emotional. I cried. I'm just sitting there like, fuck, man, this is tough. And I know Drake finds that story funny because he's not an emotional.
No, when I was there, I was sad. Like, I was just like really felt like, fuck, man, it's over. Kind of like that feeling.
And they moved
on.
There's
nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, and there's not a single soul thinking about you.
I also knew for sure the guy who was playing instead of me was better than me. So I just got to enjoy watching B. Ross play fullback for a couple years and honestly blow his dick all over this podcast.
Going back real quick, I had a funny dream. And I've had a couple dreams, maybe with the strength staff, maybe of like doing some conditioning in the summer. But
just the other night, I had a dream that I was in my current life situation with my dogs and Kaylee. Yep. And Kaylee was on like a business trip or something, but I had to make it to football. And I was trying to make it to football with my dogs. And like I was trying to run, and I couldn't run, obviously, because it was a dream. Get to football, and it's the current situation where Coach Ray is the head strength coach. And I run into the indoor facility without my uniform on, holding my dogs, and Coach Ray just walks up to me. He's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" and I held up the leashes, and I was like, I got to do what I got to do. I don't know.
Dude, so my dream 2 weeks ago was similar. I'm in my current situation. I'm in a CrossFit competition. Okay? And one of the events is a strength event, and it's a back and forth between a bench press and a heavy squat. And like I don't remember the exact workout, but those were the two movements that we were going back and forth. And my judges were Joel and Cody and Ray. And dude,
Cody,
the weight. So here's the thing. The weight was too heavy for me on the squat, and I couldn't do a rep. And I was the only one out of like 20 or 25 guys in the fucking competition. I'm just standing there looking at the bar, and I can't do a rep, with our strength coaches from years past judging me, looking at me like, dude, you're fucking embarrassing us right now. Unbelievable that you were like a guy in our strength program and you're last place in this world. I woke up and I was sad. I was depressed. It was a crazy dream. Wild. But anyway, that's funny.
Shout out to our subconscious.
Yeah.
I just want to say to the fans, I don't think you're regular. I don't think you're subhumans like Kluber does. He was hard to like. He was hard to like, okay?
You like that quote? You like that one?
It's all time. I mean,
I mean, hey, there's not many. There's not many guys who made it all the way through who have a public press conference quote about them from the head man of him describing how everybody in the program hated him at one point. That's, you know, we'll take it. So you said you were going all the way back now. You said you're trying to get shredded during that COVID time, and then you know recently last year you're running. What is a day in the life right now? I know Drake, you have to leave here soon. What is a day in the life right now, Brady Ross, look like? Do you still like? Are you running like a bro split? Are you working out at all? Like, what's it look like? What's your food look like? I know at one point you were huge into this. You were like, you're all about.
I lift. Doing the late great John Meadows threw together several programs.
Yeah.
Born in Iowa.
Really,
was John. Creeping Death 2 is. Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
I like brutal.
Yikes.
It's pretty advanced. And so that's what I'm at. I'm a few weeks into that right now. I found that for a while there, I would go to the gym, train, or, you know, do whatever. I knew what I was doing body part wise and would kind of just go around it. But I didn't have a notebook. I didn't have a plan. And I found that that's no way for me to do it.
Gotta have yeah.
I can't. You end up cutting corners, and for me, it just helps a lot when you actually have everything all laid out. So, I mean, you got to find, you can't really have any real goals. Like, I don't compete in anything like you, other than if I run.
Sure.
So, you know, there's we're going to Maui in October. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm just thinking like, hey, how can I just get a little bit yokey up for that one?
I got some ideas. I'm pretty sure you know how to get yokey. I'm curious just right now, because you're probably like, yeah, this is the weakest I've been in ever, however long. If you had to do a total right now, bench, squat, deadlift, what are you putting up for each one?
Deadlift, I have no idea, because I don't know, but I could, you know, I'll still throw. I do a lot of single leg stuff now, Bulgarians, yeah. And just really brutal, just the horrifically. That's the creeping death stuff.
I'm gonna have to think
about it. There is some, you know, barbell squats and so on, but I try not to go too heavy, so I'll throw like three. On the back squat, I'll throw like 315 on there, and go 10 to 15, but really, really slow on the eccentric pause and try to explode up, because sort of the dual purpose of my training is I want to be able to jump higher and run faster at 37 than I can right now at 27.
Sure.
I think I'm convinced that if you do the right things, that's possible.
I would agree.
It's tough. But yeah, so I'm,
there's a longevity aspect that's made its way into your training.
Yeah. Longevity in terms of, you know, athletic ability. I don't want to fall off a cliff athletically. You know, I do play pickup basketball with a bunch of guys that, they can't run and jump, but they can shoot the Caitlin Clark range through, and I just can't. I never have. That's never been my game. The skills are a little bit dusty because I haven't, you know, there were 5-6 years there where I literally didn't pick up a basketball.
Yeah.
But it's fun to get a, you know, breakaway dunk or, you know, something like that, you know, challenge guys at the rim. And you know, that's just kind of what I enjoy.
Love it.
Think about that. Brady Ross breakaway booming it.
I love it. Yeah, that's fun for me.
So that's part of why I don't know. I'm just really trying not to get hurt. Yeah. I feel like you can really trigger the growth stimulus without doing the stupid heavy stuff. But I think gun to head, you know, I could still do more than most on the victory.
Yeah, I'd say more than most is a good bet. You're in the financial world now. Best, easiest piece of financial advice from Brady Ross?
Just keep buying.
I like it. I like it.
Now, that's a vague generalization, but it's actually a book written by a guy named Nick Majuli, who, I recommend it. But that's about as specific as I think I'm willing to go on here. There's a lot of weird. Yeah,
you can just keep sending us the good stuff in the off air. Anything, Drake, that you want before you go and we let Brady go?
Look forward to the next time, man. It's always an absolute pleasure.
Yeah. Grant, you want to hop in here? You got any questions?
Oh, yeah. G-Bone, ask him your question, man.
Oh, what's going on, Brady? Who's this?
This is our producer who's been in the background the whole time. We're big time on the show now.
This is Jamie.
This is Jamie Vernon, young Jamie. We call him G-Bone.
Yeah, so they were telling me before about a coach at Iowa named Coach White. I don't know who Coach White is, so this is like a two-part question. So who is Coach White? And then the second part of the question is, do you have any interesting stories about him that were kind of alluding to that there was some potential juice there? So
no, we just asked.
Me?
No. We told G-Bone that Coach White sucked. Fuck that guy. And he was like, why? What's all that about? And I was like, you know what? Brady's coming on. Just ask Brady.
I'll just preface it with this. I did not despise that man near as much as Drake did. But, Coach White was our running backs coach. You know, me, Drake, Marcel, Akram.
what a group.
Fuck.
He was not named in the lawsuit.
Funny enough, that right? Huh?
He loved those guys, but and I don't know. He was just I think he came from the NFL, right? He was with the Vikings.
Yeah, Vikings, and then he went back to them and the Lions. Now he's at Memphis. I've seen him all over the fucking place. So you're a better guy than
I don't want to put work. Because he was the special teams coach too.
He was. He had specialists. I guess you did come in a couple years. He kind of, his reign was a little bit on the way out by the time 2015. Everything was good.
I had heard stories of some things he'd said in special teams meetings. I'm not moving my family again. So just weird stuff. But it's like, why would you say that?
He did say that. I remember that.
And I don't want to put, I don't know, that also, so his story kind of, what little ember, and it was little ember of desire I may have had for potentially entertaining the coaching thing, I think went out, when he was, so I don't want to put words in Brian's mouth, but I believe how it went was Brian became the OC. And pretty much there were some guys on the staff that he wanted to repurpose or replace would be a better word. And I think within like 2 months, he was hired in the NFL by Matt Patricia in Detroit because they GA'd together somewhere. And it's just that was the ultimate. So this really is a.
Who you know?
A who you know type deal, which, yep. You know, there's a – Brian knows a guy too, but
– His name's Bill, and a lot of people refer to him as the best ever.
Yeah. So what's the deal with this new contract? You guys understand it?
Drake doesn't even know about it. Drake doesn't check any social media.
No, so, but like, I saw a video of Brian say that if this is my last year as the coordinator, then –
Which I thought was an elite answer.
I personally love Brian answering questions. I think it's funny.
That was a great answer. The thing that people don't know who don't know Brian personally is he meant that.
He means like everything.
If it came down to falling on the sword, he would go out with a smile on his face if we were beating Wisconsin 24-10. Like, I don't think there's a person, and I still love Iowa football and watch every game. I might get season ticket. Like, but I don't think there's a single person who loves Iowa football, even in the same tier as Brian.
I agree.
And it's of course, you know, the guy could cure cancer at this point, and the comment section is going to just be a, you know,
shit show.
But no, I love that answer. I just don't understand it. So the contract is written, there's performance points per game. It's goofier than hell. But it doesn't say what happens if they don't.
It says that the current contract will not the current contract terminates or will not be renewed if the team does not reach 6 wins or the offense does not score 25 points per game or more, or they will choose to not renew the contract. So, you know, it's the weirdest thing that's ever happened, really. When it came out, I can't think of one other scenario where I've heard of these stipulations, scoring stipulations or win stipulations that are put onto one single coach's contract, but nobody else's, right? Like the wins are now based on what Brian can do and not what the other, you know, the 100 plus players and the other staff do, right? Like, they're on Brian's back.
I just don't get it. The offense at Iowa has been carrying the team for the last, you know, 5 years. It's time to
two decades.
It's
really
time for it's time for Phil to get his head. Phil and Seth need to get their heads out of their ass.
I agree.
Those boys going a little bit.
They need to start developing some players.
Clip it. Fellas, I gotta go.
Yeah, thank you, Brady, for coming on. We'll bring you back on because there's about 100 other things that I'd like to ask about and talk about, and you're a fucking treat as always.
Absolute treat.
Drake, have fun at Theo Vaughn tonight. And
love you, boys. Peace.
We'll talk to you boys later. Thanks for listening.
Later.
See you in the next one. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.